You know, while I was teaching the Sunday school class, I saw a lot of sleepy faces out there. So we're going to have to work real hard to keep ourselves awake. And I'm going to ask you to watch the person next to you or maybe in front of you or behind you and give them a good elbow if they need it. But I'm glad to be here once again. Last week, I had the privilege of filling in at the Delaware Church of Christ and trying to assist them in some of their need. But it is good to be back with my brothers and sisters here who I just love and feel so close to. So I'm glad to be back with you and especially glad that I'm back on a potluck day. You know, poor Brian, he's filling in somewhere and he's not going to get a delicious meal. But I plan things out right so that I wouldn't miss a potluck. And I hope that you won't miss it either. Let's have a word of prayer together and we will get started in our lesson this morning. Father, we love you. We know that you are a gracious, kind, and merciful Father, but also, Father, we acknowledge that we have sin in our lives. And we oftentimes go astray just as sheep, but we thank you that through Jesus Christ we could return to you, the great shepherd of our souls. I pray now, Father, during this lesson this morning, that we would understand your truth a little bit deeper, that you would help us to come closer and closer to you, and that you would help us to live out the truth of your word. Father, I thank you for Jesus, for everything that he's done, and ask that you would help us to always live for him, to follow him, to give our lives in service of him. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We believe that children are born innocent. They're not born guilty of sin. They're not born lost in that sense. They're born innocent. Now, sometimes a child may be born and they may have to suffer the consequences of their parents' sin. They may be born in a very difficult situation, but children in and of themselves are born without sin. In a sense, they are a blank slate, if you will. They are not guilty of sin, but oftentimes it doesn't take long before sin starts to enter into our lives. Now, I don't know exactly at what age, you know, a child becomes aware of their sin and their guilt. Probably it's different based on different children. But pretty soon, sin enters into this life that was at once a blank slate, and all of a sudden, you have someone who maybe is selfish, and they think only of themselves. And instead of thinking about other people, putting other interests above their own, they start just looking to themselves. What will make me happy? Maybe they become filled with pride. And they puff themselves up. And they think, I'm the one that the world revolves around. It's all about me. Or maybe greed enters into our life. And we look at the things other people have, and maybe we start to covet. And sometimes we covet more than just money, material possessions. Sometimes the coveting becomes something else. And maybe lust enters into our lives. Maybe we become filled with anger and violence and we sin in that way. Maybe to protect ourselves from all the other people around us and to hide the sins that we've committed, we begin to lie and we become dishonest. Maybe someone does something against us. And we are filled with that anger, that wrath, and we become bitter. And maybe we are unwilling to forgive. Or maybe we just look around at people and we don't treat them the way we should. Maybe we become unkind to them. And sometimes we get so angry, so frustrated with people, it can turn to complete and utter hatred. Or maybe we envy. Maybe we are just filled with all these things. Now you look at this. What was once a clean slate, and now it's a mess, isn't it? And I know my handwriting's messy. You probably can't make it out, but that's okay. Sin is messy, isn't it? And so what was once a clean slate becomes just a mess. Becomes difficult for us to look at, difficult to maybe see what was once pure and good is now filled with sin. So what do we do? How do we fix this situation? Well, I have been in ministry for 7 years now, and that's not a long time. For me, it kind of seems like a long time, but I know it's not in the grand scheme of things. But during those 7 years, I hear what many people say when you realize that you have sinned. They say, well, maybe I'll try to fix it. Maybe I'll start being good. And if my good outweighs my bad, maybe then I will be this clean slate once more. Maybe then I will be the person that I should be. So instead of lying, maybe I will be honest. And instead of hatred, maybe I'll try to practice love. Instead of greed, maybe I will be giving to other people. Instead of bitterness and unforgiveness, maybe I will start to forgive. Instead of being unkind, I will be kind instead. But you start looking at this, and does it look any better? No, it's still a mess, isn't it? And no matter how many good things I do, no matter how much positive things are in my life, I'm still not going to clean the slate of my life. I'm still not going to be made pure and spotless, no matter how many good works I do. Or maybe we say, well, it doesn't really matter. Well, look at what the Bible says is the result of a life that is filled with sin and disorder. In Isaiah 59, in verse 2, he says that your iniquities, your sins, these things that have messed up your life, they have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. It's not just about having a quote-unquote messy, broken life. It's about the fact that our sins do something terrible. They separate us from the God who loves us, who created us, who ultimately wants us to be with him, but yet our sins, they keep us from him. And when we are separated from the author of life, it doesn't take long before we find ourselves in spiritual death. In fact, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we are told that the wages of sin is death. In Romans 5, verse 12, it tells us that therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. And so what do we do? Well, as we said, maybe we try to outweigh the bad with good. But we already can see from this, it doesn't really work, does it? In fact, the Apostle Paul would write in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. It says, "For we ourselves were once foolish. We were disobedient. We were led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." It's a picture of this life that is lost in sin. He says that we were living in malice, we were disobedient, we were led astray to various passions. And you could look at all these sins and maybe you could say, well, pride is not that big a deal. Being unkind, selfishness, bitterness, it's not that big a deal. But here's the bottom line. It's disobedience to God. And it leads to separation and to death. But look at what he says. He says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness." It wasn't these good things that saved us, but how did he save us? It says, "According to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit." You see, to totally be clean, to totally be saved and set free from the sin, we need to be washed. And the Bible tells us that when we are baptized, our sins are washed away. The Apostle Paul, when he was confronted with his own sin and the things that he had done in his life, he asked the question, well, what do I need to do? And he was told, why do you wait? Rise up, be baptized, and wash away your sins. And so that life that was filled with guilt and with shame and with all these defilements of sin is made pure and clean and spotless once more. Once I scrub the board a little bit more, maybe you will see that it is once again pure and clean and spotless. But here is the problem. Even though I have been washed through the waters of baptism, even though my sins have been forgiven, I look at my life and I say, well, does it actually look like that? Does it look like that clean, spotless slate? See, if I'm honest, in my life, there still is pride. It's still there. And anger is still something that comes into my life and I sin through it. And sometimes there is still envy over what others have. Sometimes there's still, there's still coveting. And we could go on and on. You see, the reality is, I've been washed, I've been cleaned, I've been made pure, but yet I still struggle with these things. So what do we do as Christians? Well, maybe we could simply say, okay, no, I'm a Christian, it doesn't happen. You know, some people believe that once you become a Christian, you never sin again. You remain totally clean and spotless in the fact that you never do those things. Who in here is totally free of sin? I didn't see anyone raising their hand, and if you did, you'd be guilty of lying. Because in 1 John, it tells us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In verse 10, he says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, for me to claim that I am just totally clean and pure and spotless with no sin would be to say, I'm a liar and God is a liar, because God has proclaimed that each and every one of us has sin in our lives. So what do I do? Do I have to be baptized again and washed again every time I sin? You know, unfortunately, there are many people in the church who live with this idea that, well, if I do something really bad, really serious, I've got to be baptized again. And we think to ourselves, if only God had just killed me when I rose up from that water, right? I was clean, I was pure, I hadn't done anything else. If only God had just taken my life then, and then I wouldn't have a chance to sin anymore. Or you have some people who become so filled with guilt and shame that they think, well, I've got to be baptized again. I've got to do this again in order to be made clean. But if you were to look in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, sandwiched between these two verses I quoted, he would say that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here is the truth that we so often forget in the church. And that is, when I am clean, when I've been washed by the blood of Jesus, I'm not given a blank slate alone, I'm given something else. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in which our scripture reading came from, we're told in verse 17 the beauty of the clean slate, right? He says, if anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. And he goes on to talk about this reconciliation. God has reconciled the world to himself. And as an apostle, he was preaching this ministry of reconciliation. But look at what he says in verse 21. He says, for our sake, for you and me, he made him who knew no sin to become sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. You see, the first illustration I had of the blank slate after you've been baptized is actually inaccurate. You are not just given a blank, clean slate as a Christian. Actually, you're given something much more, something much greater. When you are baptized into Jesus Christ and you are washed in the blood of Jesus, you don't just have a blank slate, you also have been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And although we still sin, we still fall short, I still struggle with things like pride and anger and greed and envy and lust and whatever it is, those sins and the guilt of that sin does not stick on us any longer, because Jesus Christ and His righteousness has been given to us. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, what He did was, first of all, He paid the penalty for my sin. The wages of sin is death, but the Bible says that Jesus became the propitiation. It's a word that means He became the atoning sacrifice. And so the penalty for your sin was taken. You no longer have to pay for your sin. Now, you may still face consequences for your sin. Your sin may still hurt you in some way, but the penalty, in God's eyes, it's been taken away. Jesus has already paid for it. But not only that, He's not simply paid for your sin and given you a blank slate so that you can go sin more. He has given you the righteousness of God. See, for our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so when God looks down and sees you, He does not see someone who is defiled and dirty and is just ripe for being struck down by lightning. No, if you are in Christ, He says, you're a new creation. The old things, they passed away. New things have come. You have been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when God sees you, He sees someone who is righteous. Many of you did not have the opportunity to hear this, but this past Wednesday, John Odell gave us a terrific lesson that really kind of fit into what I wanted to talk about this morning. And he made the point that as Christians, we can have some confidence and some assurance because Jesus Christ has washed us, He's cleansed us, He's purified us. And here's the truth. If I am looking at myself and my own performance, I will come up short every single time. I will never be good enough. I will never be righteous enough. I'll never be pure enough. But if I trust in the perfect blood of Jesus Christ, then I can have confidence and assurance. As long as I am following Jesus, as long as I am striving to be His child and working to follow Him, we are cleansed. We are given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Turn over to the book of Hebrews just for a moment. Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews, in many ways, is a book that tells us Jesus is better. Jesus is greater than angels, than Moses, than the temple, than the sacrifices, than all those things. Jesus Christ is better. And I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 11. He says, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. Why did He sit down? Because His work was done. He didn't need to offer another sacrifice. It says He was waiting from that time until His enemies should be made a footstool for His feet. And listen to verse 14. It says, for by a single offering He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And I love Hebrews 10:14 because it gives us this paradox that we live in. On one hand, I'm still being sanctified. I'm still a work in progress. I'm still trying to do better. I'm trying to sin less. I'm trying to do more good works. I'm constantly having to ask for forgiveness and repent. But at the same time, God sees you and He sees someone who has been made complete and perfect in the blood of Jesus Christ. I think it just happened to work out this way, but we're about to sing a song of invitation called Nothing But the Blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. And when God looks at the people who have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees the sacrifice of Christ, he sees the righteousness of Christ, he sees people who have been made clean, who have been perfected. And so the challenge for us as Christians is to live like people who have been made perfect. To live as people who understand that, yes, I've been forgiven, the grace of God has been given to me, and because of that, I want desperately to live for Him. I want to please Him. I want to serve Him. I want to live a righteous life. But I know that there are also, probably, those here this morning who have never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We saw the Apostle Paul who said that he had to rise, be baptized, and wash away his sins. In Acts 2:28, we are told that the people were baptized for what reason? For the forgiveness of sins. And this is one of my favorites. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." You see, if you want to be made spotless, if you want to have the blood of Jesus Christ, you've got to be cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You've got to be cleansed in His blood. And He says we do that by being buried with Him and rising with Him through baptism. And so if you are ready to rise to this new life, today's the day. Don't wait. Don't put it off. If you feel like you don't understand, if you need to know more about this, I would love to sit down and study God's Word with you. And for those of you who are Christians, who have already been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, understand that God looks at you and He sees the righteousness of Jesus. He sees that the penalty has been paid, you've been washed, you've been clean. If you need to respond to the invitation for any reason, won't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song?